translation with purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Prabhupada. At the place of pilgrimage at Prabhasa, it came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to the violent passion. Just as the entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos. After this, he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Both the Kauravas and the Yadavas were relatives of Vidura, and Vidura heard of their extinction due to fratricidal war. The comparison of the friction of forest bamboos to that of passionate human societies is appropriate. The old world is compared to a forest. At any moment, there may be a flare-up of fire in the forest due to friction. No one goes to the forest to set it on fire, but due only to friction between bamboos, fire takes place and burns the entire forest. Similarly, in the greater forest of worldly transaction, the fire of war takes place because of the violent passion of the conditioned souls illusioned by the external energy. Such a worldly fire can be extinguished only by the water of the mercy cloud of saints. Just as a forest fire can be extinguished only by rains falling from a cloud. End of purport. Oma jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurmalitam jena tasmai sri gurave nama. Si chaitanna manobhistam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadandikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadata Arashivasari Gaur Bhaktavrin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangalam gayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande shi guru dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By his mercy, a blind man can see stars in the sky. And by his mercy, a dumb man like me can speak few words on the Srimad Bhagavatam today. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini. So, read the verse again. At the place of pilgrimage at Prabhasa, it came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to violent passion. Just as an entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos, after this he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows. So here, Vidura, at this place, during his pilgrimage, he's receiving the news. Shushru is Sanskrit verse here. That all his relatives from the side of the Kauravas and from the side of the Yadu dynasty, they were all exterminated, all dead. So there was a mixed feeling there, because some they were good, some not very good. And why, how they were related to Vidura, because Vidura, later on you will see when he at the next step, he will see, you will read the next sequence that he'll meet you, Uddhava. And the very first thing he inquires about the living member of the family of the Yadu dynasty. Vidura was related to Vasudev. He inquired about Vasudev as his brother-in-law, because Vasudev's sister, Kunti, the younger sister of Vasudev, was married to Pandu. Pandu was the middle brother of, was the middle of the younger one of the Kauravas. Anyone helps me? Was the younger brother of Vidura or the middle? The middle one. So we can see that so he was brother-in-law to Vasudev. And not only that, the sister of Vidura. Vidura had a sister, does anybody know? Was married to Vasudev. The Balaram took birth. Rohini. I did a little bit of research yesterday, and but I couldn't find any source. Does anybody know Rohini's father and mother? Anybody? Or anybody online? They can send me a text to help me to understand. But it says in the next few purports, Prabhupada explained that Rohini was actually sister to Vidura. I mean, I read the Bhagavatam, and that was something interesting for me to, you know, that's why we should read again and again these books, because sometimes you read for the second time, or you come across in a class or some a random reading, you know, oh, I never heard that before. But actually, we need to scrutinize the Bhagavatam properly and understand this, all this, yeah, that's kind of an intricacy. In any case, so he's inquiring because he knows everyone else is dead. As you can understand later on, that not only the battle of Kurukshetra exterminated everyone on the on that battle except the Pandavas, but also later on, Lord Krishna, you see, the power of Krishna, nobody can destroy it. Nobody can defeat Krishna. Unless he can defeat himself, he can actually diffuse his own power. The Yadu dynasty, they represent the power of Krishna. They are Krishna himself. And nobody can defeat them. So he tricked this friction, as it says here, he sparked up, you know, this fight amongst themselves. So not only all the Kauravas, they were dead, but also the Yadu dynasty, which is the dynasty of Krishna, they were all exterminated by the will of Krishna. Because even Arjuna, he couldn't move a finger unless Savai Balam, Balinam Chaparisham. This Bala, Savai Balam, unless someone is empowered by the Lord, he can't even move a finger. Arjuna, he actually was powerful, as powerful like Krishna, but as soon as Krishna left the planet, Arjuna became, believe it or not, became a mortal being. No, he could be defeated. He got defeated by a bunch of coward boys. He couldn't even protect all the queen of Lord Krishna. Of course, if you're reading Krishna book, these coward men, they were actually Krishna himself. They represent Krishna because, you know, nobody else can touch the consorts of the Lord unless himself does so. Like Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Srimati Radharani, it's none other than Krishna himself, Abhimanyu. Abhi means both human, Manu, human and God. Means he's both. That's the word Abhimanyu. And Lord Krishna, he expanded himself to marry Radharani, because no mortal man can, ordinary man, can associate or even touch or even be in the same room or being present to the goddess of the universe, Srimati Radharani. Only Krishna. Just for those who think, you know, oh, Krishna is committing adultery. I have a friend of mine who later on became a Catholic priest. And I tried to give him a Bhagavad Gita, and he said, no, you God, you know, it's a bella figura God. Do you know what that means? Bella figura means he likes to hang around with many ladies, 16,000 wives. And so he couldn't really, because he read a little bit of Krishna book, so it didn't go down very well. So I had to explain that all those personalities, they were Krishna himself. And also this consort of Krishna, they represent their expansions of Radharani. That's the way I made him understand. And Radharani is the internal pleasure potency of the Lord. It represents his happiness. So to be intimate with your own happiness is not an adultery. You can be, that's what it means, samadhi, yoga. When you are just yourself with your happiness, you know, when you feel happy inside, that happiness belongs to you, not to anyone else. But God's happiness, the pleasure potency, it's a female. It serves him to make him happy. So Radharani and all the 16,000 wives and all the ladies in the world, they're all from the happiness of Krishna. He can associate with anyone he wants. So you see, once we understand this, then there is no more confusion that God is a debauchee. So while we advance spiritually, then we understand, you know, that there is no defect, no immorality in the God's consciousness. The Lord Ram represents the morality of Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya, you know, any of his quality, they represent something about him. They're non different from him. Lord Chaitanya represents the mercy of Krishna, compassion and mercy. Radharani is the happiness of Krishna. I'm going to say something to wake someone up. Ravana is the happiness of Krishna. Anyway, sometimes when you say the wrong thing, you know, then people, they wake up. But it doesn't matter. Samadhi, you see. Nishingadev represents the anger of Krishna. Buddha represents the intelligence of Krishna. And You know, we have Kurma represents the humility of Krishna. You know, Kurma, the tortoise, is the embodiment of humility. He served underneath the ocean when the demons and demigods, they were churning. And he was facilitating, you know, to hold the burden of all this passion of demigods and demons on his, the cover of the tortoise? Shell, on his shell. We're very humble. The owner of everything is actually there serving demons. And that's what Krishna does. He's eternally fulfilling the desires of all the living entities. Demons, human beings, demigods, and liberated souls. That is the business of God. He's always giving happiness. He's not a, you know, a control freak. Oh, this belongs to me. You know, who are you? No, we are all created by Him to enjoy, but we have to find the right enjoyment. And when we discover that enjoyment means to serve the source of all the pleasure, Krishna, then we have understood God consciousness, and He becomes very happy. Krishna is not a, you know, even if you leave the movement and enjoy your sense, you go to the pub or you do whatever you want, He is not a Taliban. Oh, I'm going to kill you now. You left me. It's God is not a tyrant. He still follows you in the form of Paramatma and fulfill your desire. Men propose and God dispose. So, but we shouldn't be like the Christians. Please give me daily bread. Give me the happiness every day. Give me a job. Give me this. Give me that. Of course, there's no harm to ask the Lord for help. Ask and you shall receive. But gratitude is more higher than demanding or asking. When you, whatever little bit comes to us and if you're grateful, Krishna likes that very much. He becomes very pleased. Then He gives more, even without you asking. You become a deserver. A deserver, when you know, someone who deserves, rather than, you know, the merit will come to you, whether it's material or spiritual, it'll fulfill your desire. So Vidura understood all this, because he was living amongst demons. Okay, he was surrounded by opulence, was the little brother of King Dhritarashtra. But he was surrounded by envy, pride, arrogance. They disrespected him. They looked down upon him. Duryodhan was always, he had no respect. There's a saying in Italian, one should always be ready to leave the table where respect is no longer served. One time I remember Shivaram Swami, who was his servant, Madhusudana Prabhu. You remember, anyone who remember Madhusudana was one of his servants? He rang me up. Said, Guru Maharaj, he wants to be with you. He wants, I know it's short notice, but some people, you know, they invited him for prasad. I don't want to mention names, some of his disciples. But he didn't feel welcome. And there was something happened. You know, when you don't respect the guru, he left the table, Shivaram Swami. He said he wants to come to your house for prasad, anything. So we made a nice, simple plate of spaghetti and a few other things. But I didn't ask, you know, what went wrong. You know, it's business between guru and disciple. But I understood, you know, that, you know, if you accept the guru, you should respect the guru, love the guru, worship the guru. Vidura was the most saintly one in the Kaurava dynasty, but he was disrespected. You could see even Lord Krishna, he always goes where he's respected. He went to give a message of peace, but no, they rejected him, insulted him. Then afterwards, they made this Duryodhana arranged this big, big lunch, opulent lunch. Did Krishna went for lunch? Yes or no? What did he do? Please tell me, anyone who remembers. Yes, he went to the Vidura. What did he eat? Banana peels, not even a banana. His wife, the Vidura's wife, was in so much love with Krishna that she couldn't understand, she couldn't tell what she was doing. She couldn't control her bhava. That she was peeling the banana, throwing away the banana and giving the peels to Krishna. And Krishna was eating it. God, if God comes to your house, you know, it's a big thing. You will give it the best. But, you know, as a surprise, Vidura received the Lord. So that's the thing, you know, always go where respect is given to you. Stay in that association. And I know there is verse, Trinadapi, Sunichena, one should not seek for respect and this and that, but doesn't mean stupidly like a mule. You know, you stay in the association of those who repeatedly disrespect you, envy you, because you will be the cause of their degradation. More you stay, more they commit offense. So you cut off. I'm sensitive by nature due to my upbringing. I only go to places where I'm wanted. I will never show up where I'm not being invited or wanted. So if I know that this situation is not good for me, then I leave. And I keep the hurt inside. Or if someone doesn't invite you, invites a member of your family to a party, but they don't invite you, it's very disrespectful. Someone comes, invite your wife for a party, but not the husband. I don't know, in Italian culture, it's very immoral, such a thing. But in any case, this is another topic. Vidura was very intelligent, and you know, as soon as he saw the cold shoulder from the Kauravas, he actually left. And he was very happy to do so. Then at some point during his pilgrimage, while all the war was going on, he received the news, but he was very humble. He was feeling sorry for all of them. My dear Lord, please forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He was not like arrogant and proud, like, you know, I'm Yamaraj. In my previous life, Vidura was actually, is Yamaraj. It's not a small personality. Shishirada Gokulananda Kija. He didn't say, so they deserve it, or I'm going to judge them. Or he didn't say to Duryodhan, who, you know, do you know who I am? In my previous life, I was Yamaraj. If you're not careful, if you don't respect me, I'm going to judge you and cast you to hell. No, he was not like that. So whatever situation we are living in, you embrace the present. Even if you are a great personality outside, and you come to the temple, take off your suit, whether you are a general, politician, or a king, or you are a businessman, leave everything out. Come to the temple naked from all this designation. My dear Lord, I'm your servant. So we should always be in that present situation, service mood. At the moment, we chose to be servant, so let's live in the present. Let's forget about the future, you know, whether you want to become someone important, but even in Krishna consciousness, if you want to become a guru, or if you want to become a sannyasi, then don't dwell on these things. Always embrace the present, and the best position to be in is to be a servant. Then you are safe. When you are a servant, Krishna is carrying you. He looks after you. As soon as you think that you are a servant, you become a spiritual master. You are more than a king. There are so many positions we aspire in this world, but nobody likes the position of a servant. Right? If you go to the royal family and ask them, would you like to be a servant for a day? Or maybe for 1 hour? You serve your servant. Please, let's see if you could do it. 1 minute only. Few seconds. They can't do it. Of course, we don't want to speak. Because it's something that the consciousness will not allow. You know, we all like to be great. We are all on the this missile, this going up. We always try to go up, up and up in this world. But in the spiritual world is different. They always like to go, you know, the gopis, Radharani is pushing other gopis towards Krishna. No, you go towards Krishna. A true servant is someone who is always in the mood of giving. It's a wealthy position to be in, because you're giving happiness to others. If someone gives you something, between receiving and giving, which one is higher? Please tell me. Don't worry, mistakes are allowed. Giving. The mother gives milk to the baby, but she's very happy to do so. She doesn't ask the baby, you owe me a fiver for every sucking of the milk. You owe me this, you owe me that. Bhakti Vatsala, Lord Krishna, becomes the servant of his servant. When he sees there is a love there, he serves. Lord Chaitanya, he came as the embodiment of servitude. He came to serve all of us. That's God himself, but not just Krishna, but Radha and Krishna together. He came to teach us, you know, how to serve. And how to be happy. This is the business of the guru. The whole teachings of the guru is to teach the disciple how to enjoy properly. Not, you know, don't think, oh, he's telling me to do austerity, getting up early, I have to do this, I have to do. This is all training. But once you achieve that very high position, it's a mood of a servant, then you'll start to enjoy. I felt a great enjoyment one morning. I had a very big, great realization after 40 years in Krishna consciousness. Does anybody want to know my big realization, great realization? You may think, oh, it must be a very philosophical realization, or some bhava or something. Do you really want to know? You wouldn't be amused. I woke up one morning, I was supposed to come and give a class. It was something to do about humility, the verse. And that morning I realized deeply inside how fallen I am. But I felt happy. Finally, the Lord, you know, He put the mirror in front of me. That's what you are. Once you realize, more you advance spiritually and more you realize how fallen you are, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Because sometimes we are enamored by the illusion. Oh, I've done this, I've done... You know, the brain is trained, you know, to remember all the good things you do. Like yesterday, you know, I saw I saw outside Sainsbury. And every time I have a policy, every time I see a homeless person, I always ask, are you hungry? If they say yes, I buy them a sandwich with water. I'll offer it to Krishna and give it to them. If I don't have books with me. And so I got someone to hug me from behind. It was Titikshu Prabhu, my friend. I said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm doing prasad distribution. I don't have any books, but, you know, I'm... Anyway, so this morning, sometimes, you know, we do things and we like to remember all the good things that we have done. The brain, it's trained like that. But actually, it's a human thing. It's not a big thing, you know, to help someone. I see book distribution as an exercise for the consciousness. When you exercise your consciousness into giving, then you are always in the mood of giving. Whether it's a happiness, or a sandwich, or some service, or something, or a smile to someone. Give something to make someone happy. That's what pleases Krishna. Because everyone is dear to Krishna. Not just the devotees. He says, you know, in the last Vyasa Puja class, anyone who preached this, my message to my devotees are those people outside, not the ones, you know, in the temple. Everybody is a devotee of Krishna. Then that person is very dear to me. So we have to exercise this mood of giving. The nature of the mind is to take from this world. The nature of the soul is to give. When you give, you are happy. This is my mantra when I do seminars on book distribution. When you give, you are happy. When you take, you are miserable. Why? Dusparena nalina cha. It says in the Gita, the words of Krishna. If you take, it's like putting fuel on fire. The desire of taking expand, it gets fire. So that's what business people they do. That's what celebrities they do. They won't always upgrade their position, their status. And everything is intoxication. We are always in the mood of receiving, taking. We expect something. People, they wake up in the morning, they scroll on the phone. How many likes I got on this? How many? Because, you know, they're in taking mood. It becomes an intoxication. Oh, I'm not valued very much. Or I'm not worshipped very much. Oh, this celebrity is bigger than me. He's got many thousands of likes. I only got few. So everybody is announcing, you know, trying to increase their performance into this world. So we have to be... what Krishna likes is Bhaktivatsala, the guru. He becomes the servant of his disciple. Krishna become Bhaktivatsala means he becomes the servant of his bhakta. Lord Krishna, he loves it. When he came, he loved to wash the feet of Brahmana Sudama. He liked to serve his devotee. He came, you could see that even Lord Ramachandra, he loved to, actually was very happy to be in the forest and to serve all those sages, God himself. So the position of a servant, it's very high. Don't underestimate it. And Vidura, he was actually the son of maidservant, and he was a humble servant of Krishna, and he was the best of the amongst the Kaurava, in the best. But unfortunately, people, you get classified, you know, according to how much opulence, with lineage, where you come from, or the caste. You know, that's the way we judge people. But we don't value the consciousness, the service, service mood, and the love. Someone who carries a service, he carries love, because devotional service, you can't separate those two. Devotion and service is the same. You express, the wife says to the husband, you know, I love you very much. And then the husband came back home and she makes him starve. What kind of, she doesn't cook for him. What kind of love is that? Love is in the service. That's what Krishna is teaching us. So thank you very much. We have 3 minutes. I hope I was not too esoteric. Was okay, Karen, the class, for the new bhakta? I try to make it, you know, simple as possible. Any questions? Yes, Prayojana Prabhu.
So the amazing thing that's happened in the temple recently is that the burden of the pujaris now, or the pujari staff, has been taken away because they could no longer make up plates for themselves. It all, the maha has to go down to the congregation. And I spoke to somebody, I said, how's it going? He says, they said, my life has become so simple now. All we have to do is do our pujari service. We don't have to worry about this plate, that plate, that plate. It goes to everyone in the congregation. They don't have to concern themselves. So it was an amazing decision that they made now for that. And but also when you said about serving, Jesus was a wonderful example when he was washing the feet of his disciples. He was serving them. And you're right. It's a, I suppose the key to it is humility, isn't it? God's more humble than we are.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Anything else? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your class. Well, if being servant is the highest, and we should not make about the different positions, so why Vidura was judged for being born from a Sudra mother?
Because he was judged by demons. That's what I said at the end. Someone who doesn't see the consciousness and the service mood, the bhakti, the devotion, they only see the external, like Duryodhan and everyone else. They were seeing him, you know, being the son of a maidservant. So it's not like an exalted birth, according to Duryodhan. But according to the Pandavas, you know, it's a different thing. According to Lord Krishna, You know, to be a son of a maid servant, it's not an inglorious thing. You know, like Prahlad Maharaj was also. Dhruva Maharaj. Who was Prahlad Maharaj, the son that he went traveling? Narada Muni, sorry. Thank you very much. Narada Muni, Mahajan. You know, these Mahajans, they come down, you know, and they take birth as the sons of maidservant, become great personality. Like Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, they get purified by the association of sadhus. So, the Pandavas, Lord Krishna, you know, they had a different vision of Vidura. They had a great respect for him, awe and reverence, and he was appreciated. That's why it's devotees sometimes, you know, they may be looked down for being servants, but if Krishna likes you and he loves you the way you are, it doesn't matter what other people they see. Because to identify yourself as a master, when you look down towards other people and give them no value, that means you are immediately identifying yourself as a master. And that's what Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, you know, they felt, you know, they were higher than Vidura. You see, that's why Bhagavad Gita, what is night for a sage is daylight for a materialist person, and vice versa. It all depends how you view the world. Usually, we tend to view the world the way we feel or the way we are. If we feel like a master, if we are proud and arrogant, then everyone else, you know, it's viewed, you know, as a less than you. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, one of the reasons I asked this question is that we hear that Vidura did not become the king because he was from.
That's fine. That's the what do you call it? The norm, the rule, you know, in the monarchy. But you know, the bhakti overcomes all the rule. He was the son of Vyasadeva. You know, Vyasadeva is God himself. A great personality. But it kept him humble. It kept him, you know, a saintly person. It doesn't mean that by being a son of Mary, you lost out. He didn't become the king. So what? You know, like me, if I make an application to become a prime minister or a politician, and I don't, so what? Doesn't matter. I carry on living. There are things you can get in life, and things you can't get, but they are all material. The position of a king, and anything in this material, any position is a material designation. So, don't feel sorry if Vidura didn't become a king. Your question is, you know, why he didn't become a king? Why he was not...
Well, I'm thinking Pandavas did not fight for him to become the king. You know, they did not argue that.
Why the Pandavas, they didn't argue?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was maybe Lord Krishna wanted him to be protected by his humility. And plus... I think he was the, because he was the son of a maidservant, you know, some protocol is there. Yeah. And he accepted it, you know, as a karma, because he previously made an offense as a Yamaraj. So you go down as a punishment, and then in the course of punishment, you can't say, oh, I want to be rewarded. Okay. So he accepted the punishment very humbly, And yes, I shouldn't be a king. And he was happy to be a servant. It was much better to be a servant. Let somebody else be a king. But it was that's why he took birth. You know, sometimes he's just the destiny. Even a great personality, they commit some offenses. They go wonderful life afterwards, but there are some hiccups, some obstacles. Because of their offense, you know, there's something there which is not viewed by us to be nice or opulent. But one who advances in Krishna consciousness, he understands that Vidura actually was more fortunate than Pandu and Dhritarashtra. He was much more advanced than them.
Thank you. So just like Prabhupada says, these personalities take different roles in order to teach us a lesson.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
And when calamity comes to us, we have to embrace it. When a suffering, when we are demoted, if we are humble, you know, he demoted himself from that position of being Yamaraj, Mahajan. Vidura is a Mahajan. It's higher. You see, Pandu is not a Mahajan. Dhritarashtra is not a Mahajan. Thinking of, you know, just try to see the big picture. The 12 authority of this material world are the 12 Mahajans. And Vidura is one of them, Yamaraj. Not Pandu, not Dhritarashtra. That makes sense?
Thank
Hare
you.
Krishna. Hare. Anything else? Otherwise, oh, there's one new bhakta. And then we can go for breakfast. Yes, Prabhu.
So I have a quick question. As you say, in Eye of God, everyone is equal and like everyone comes to temple is at equal position. And the person coming should leave his, whatever his status is outside of the temple, right? So why is it that there are like VIP designated for temples as well? Like VIP is coming, he should be treated at higher level. Why is it? It should be equal for each and every devotee in the temple.
Okay, so we invite those people, but we don't say leave your position outside. We don't say, you know, we have to... you can't force. Will you give a feast to a baby, newborn baby? I'm asking you a question. There's a huge feast here, and there's a little bit of porridge here. What would you give to a baby? A little bit of milk here, and a big feast here.
Milk.
Huh?
Milk.
Milk. Why?
It isn't like baby's not yet accustomed to the feast.
So you have answered the question yourself. Because these politicians, dignitary people, they are not accustomed to come before God without any illusion or designation. So make them feel comfortable.
But what if they are accustomed now? So I'm a Hindu. I go to all the temples. I come to this temple as well. And you feel me, like make me feel very special. So is that correct? Because I have been following, I know what God wishes. And I still am like, I'm looking for the position.
Devotees who are in the temple, servants of God, they make everyone feel special. But whether or not you are special in the eyes of God, that's another thing. Sometimes, you know, the more insignificant we present ourselves before God, and more we become special to Him. But if we go before God, you know, I'm a prime minister of UK, and I'm looking at a piece of marble here. Let me please these people, do whatever they say. You see that you have to understand what's going on in their mind. But my religion, I'm Christian, but we have to have, you know, some culture, some interfaith, so let's be nice. And let's offer them respect. So they come like that in front of the deities. But we have to see what's going on inside. You see, and then what's going on also in Krishna's consciousness, in the vision of Krishna. You may be thinking, you know, okay, take some prasad, then you will understand. You're not a prime minister, You're just a Nitya, you know, a servant, my servant, my lost servant. But slowly, slowly, maybe in future lives, you will have the good fortune, by the mercy of my devotees, to understand who you are. Because that's the Aham Brahmasmi. That's the very first realization in spiritual life, that we are spirit souls. Not that you are Hindu, like you said, and then therefore you feel special, or Italian. I used to feel, I'm an Italian monk. I used to say, but that's wrong.
Not in that sense. Like, I didn't mean Hindu. I meant, like, if I go to temple, if I'm accustomed to God, like, if a Christian comes to the temple, you'll make him feel, like,
yes,
how it is, like, what the
we treat every
are.
Guest as
yeah.
a God,
yeah.
as God himself.
Yeah, but, like, if a person, I'm accustomed to the temples, I've been going to temples, different temples, just say, like, I'm on a higher position, I go to all the temples, I know what the customs are. But when I come to this temple, like, this, like, still treat me as a VIP. So is that required?
That's, you treat everyone, as I said before, that's service. You make someone feel important. I remember when I got initiation in Mayapur, I was a new bhakta, but my guru, he said, you know, I want to make you feel important. You come with me. You know, he used to take me to functions. And they used to serve him. They used to serve me nicely. And he said, enjoy all the treatment, all the VIP treatment. And I want you to feel important. I feel the guru, you know, like Prabhupada, was told by his Guru Maharaj, go to preach in the West and make yourself feel important. You know, sit on the Vyasasana, become a guru, become an important. So he took it as a service. He didn't say, no, I want to stay in Vrindavan, I want to be humble. No. When the devotees, they want to give you something, some service, some nice prasad, some nice hospitality, some nice words, accept it. Even though inside, you know, I don't deserve it. Does it make sense? But you accept it to make them happy. That's the competition that should be going on in this world. I try to make you happy, you try to make me happy. That's what pleases God. But if you treat someone, you give a bad impression to someone, and dignitary said, oh, you are a materialistic person, you're not allowed in the temple. You are a mlecha. And only, you know, like they do in Jagannath Puri. Sorry, I don't want to criticize them. But, you know, they only allow, you know, birth, you know, people and those who are Hindus. But, you know, our Krishna consciousness teaches us to make everyone feel important. I've got a cat at home, and I make him feel important. He's happy. And then, you know, I could tell because, you know, he increases his brrrr. When they do that, that means, you know, they're very happy. I'm making him feel important. You know, the more I caress him, more the tail goes up. And then more he feels, you know, I'm great. There is nothing to lose to serve someone, give some happiness to someone, whoever it is, whether a devotee or so-called politicians or royal family. Or at the end of the day, we are all useful in the eyes of God and nobody is necessary. We are all special. You know, if we don't learn to love what we see, we can never learn to love what we don't see. But before love comes a service. I go out every day to serve people, to give them books, because I'm training my consciousness to give them a little bit of happiness. Just a little something. Spiritual, make a point in your life. I made someone happy today. I made someone smile. And that pleases Krishna. You will remember that. At the time of death, wait a minute, you know, he's made a few people happy in his life. So I'm happy. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Bol.